Amen. Well, good morning again, church. Wonderful to be here with you today. You know, last week we were talking about our focus was about new relationships and new clothing and new wineskins. And we talked about how in order to embrace what God has for us right now, that we needed to let go of old ways of thinking. This week, through Scripture, we're going to be invited to release and to let go of our pain. And then as we let go, we can receive the grace and forgiveness that we long for in life. This morning's scripture passage is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul writes, "I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is, he begins the chapter by talking about all the good things that he has done. You know, all these wonderful things that he has done in the name of following God. That he was circumcised, that he was a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. Not only was he a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, but he was from the tribe of Benjamin. And that he was a former Pharisee. And if that's all we ever read about Paul's life, we might be left feeling like, okay, well, here's this guy with the perfect past telling us how to live in Christ. And we could be left feeling like, gosh, how do I, with my past, fit into this? Like, I am not as good, I'm not as perfect as Paul. You know, and to say that Paul was a Pharisee is, to say that he excelled at that would be an understatement, right? Paul lived his Pharisaic life with gusto. Now, the Pharisees were tasked with this belief that they were there to help the people of Israel live a life worthy of being devoted to God. And that if you were not on board with that, they were going to help you see the light. And if you were against the rules and against the regulations that they provided there to help you live a good life, a godly life, then you needed to beware. You know, Paul says of his ministry in Acts 26, he says, "I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities." You know, Paul was an enemy of Jesus. And then Acts chapter 9 happens, and Paul is on his way. He's going to Damascus after Christians, and he's literally struck blind by the light of Christ. And everything changes. It'd be very interesting to have a conversation with Paul. I wonder what he thought of his past life. I can't imagine the regret that he must have felt. But that's why his words from 3:12 to 14 are so important. Because he didn't have a perfect history. He had a very spotty history. And so he's telling us how we can live into what God is calling us to. Right? How we can release the past and embrace the future. So I think the first key point is this, that we must realize that God has a goal for our lives. You know, Paul says, "I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Right? Hear those words, for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Now, Paul understood that the Lord took hold of his life with a goal in mind. And this is true of all of us. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. It's important for us to realize that God has a job for us to do. He has called us to something. We are part of his plan. And that God does have a plan for your life, and his plan will lead you to joy and fulfillment and contentment and eternal blessing. You know, Paul not only recognizes that the Lord has a grand purpose for his life, he also recognizes the fact that he's not there yet. Right? Paul knows that he isn't what he should be. He's aware of his faults and the areas in which he needs to grow. Right? He says, not that I have already achieved it, not that I have been made perfect yet, but I'm still working on it. And that word perfect also means complete. And Paul realizes that he's still a work in progress. You know, there are people in our world who will get very discouraged because they're not progressing rapidly in their faith. You know, the Christian life, the Christian faith is a life of growth and maturity, much like life itself. And growth takes time. And as Paul diligently worked on his faith, he recognized that he still hadn't arrived yet. And so I think Paul would say, you know, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Growth takes time. Then there's a whole different group of people who have the opposite problem. They already feel like they have arrived at where God wants them to be. That they had reached a certain point of knowledge or experience, and they can conclude that they can stop working so hard. You know, they have a faulty view of their situation. They're only looking at the surface, and God is looking much deeper. God is looking at the heart. You know, we need to measure ourselves by Christ. He wants us to be pure in our actions, pure in our thoughts, pure in our conversations, pure in our thinking, in our attitudes, and in our relationships. He wants us to love him more than anything else. He wants to be in that position of influence in all areas of your life. And if you understand the standard, you will, like Paul, know that you aren't there yet. That as long as God has breath in your lungs for you, you are still called to work towards Christ. Then I think Paul also would tell us that we're not to live in the past. Right? He says, you know, literally, he says, forget the past. You know, when Paul talks about forgetting, he is telling us that we can't and we must not live in our past. You know, what has happened is past, and I've got to keep moving forward. I think there's two reasons why we need to forget the past. And the first one, we tend to fixate on the past. You know, in our past, we've had these bad experiences, and these bad experiences become an anchor, and they hold us down. Or we remember a hurt that someone had inflicted upon us, and it just eats us up. Or we'll remember a time where we tried something and we weren't successful at it, and so we just say, well, I tried, I failed, I'm not going to try again. You know, how we deal with the painful parts of our past will determine how we live in the present. We need to learn from our pain and move on. Right? What God has forgiven should never be taken as a burden again. But then there are also folks who will glorify the past. Right? They'll replay past victories and They'll be content with what they have done. So content with what they've done that they will refuse to continue forward. This can happen to a lot of people. It happens to a lot of churches. Now, Paul says we must never be content with our past accomplishments. And we must always be looking forward to what we need to be doing right now. What yet needs to be done. So he says this. He says, be intentional about your growth. You know, looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. It's a choice. You know, Paul was not distracted. Paul was very clear as to where he was heading. And he tells us that he's reaching for his goal. You know, he's straining forward. And the image that Paul's giving us here is like running a race. You know, when you see people running a race, you know, turn on a television set during the Olympics this summer, you're not going to see people, if they're running, like this. They're going to be running like this. They're going to be stretched out over their feet because they want that momentum to carry them. They're straining for that finish line. And this is the image Paul gives us as we seek to grow spiritually. And when Sophia was young, she decided that she was going to learn how to tie her shoes. And Jan and I probably showed her one time, but she would sit there and tie and untie her shoes. She's always had a very strong independent streak. And she worked at it, and she worked at it, and she got it. Sophia decided she was going to learn how to write cursive. They don't teach that in school anymore. She saw it, wanted to learn. She didn't learn it from me. If anybody's ever seen my handwriting, it is atrocious. I print everything. But she learned. And I mean, when she writes, it looks like a font from a computer. It is near perfect. She learned calligraphy. She learned how to do nails. She learned how to do diamond painting. You know, she made a decision to learn something, and so she learned it. You know, we need to make that same choice to invest in our spiritual lives. And when we stretch forward, strain for the goal like Paul tells us to, we'll make time for God in our schedule. Time for God doesn't happen by accident. You know, it is amazing how quickly a day will fly by. And so you've got to be intentional. You've got to be purposeful to make that time for God. Make that time for reading God's word. Spending time with Him in prayer. Making worship and service a priority in our calendars. You know, I think this also means that if we miss a day reading the Bible or spending some time with God in prayer, let's choose not to feel like we failed. We don't have to give up, right? Because we're going to forget about what we did yesterday, and we're going to choose what we're going to do today. And so if you forgot to read last week, yesterday, today's a new day. Pick up your Bible and spend some time with Him. Spend some time with Him in prayer. Right? You are not a failure. So just don't give up. That brings us to number four, to keep our eyes on the goal. You know, to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. You know, what is your goal in life? What is it that you want more than anything else to achieve? You know, I love this picture that Merle has on the screen for us there. Because I think it communicates more about goals than anything else we could describe. You know, what is it that you think she's thinking? Do you think she's whispering into Jesus' ear, hey, Jesus, do you know how successful I was? Do you know how big my business was? Do you know how many promotions I got? hey, Jesus, do you know how many followers on TikTok or Snapchat or Facebook that I have? Hey, Jesus, do you know about all of my education, all those degrees that I got? You know, whatever we might think really matters, other than a relationship with Jesus, we just need to think again. There are important tasks that we have in this world. There are important tasks God gives to us in this life, but there's only one goal. You know, I've seen this picture in many forms with different people, but can you imagine the moment when we get to see Jesus face to face? Right, this is the goal, my friends, to know this moment personally. This is why we press on. This is why we endure, to hear from our Savior's lips, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I mean, just imagine what that embrace must be like, to have the Savior's arms wrapped around you, welcoming you home. You know, a lot of people will start a diet, start exercising, and they fail to follow through. Many people start a book that they failed to finish. Some people begin training in some area and simply stop when it becomes difficult. And there are some people who become fascinated with faith and they excited about it for a while, but then they grow bored and they turn to something else that will excite them for a little while. You know, the person who gives up misses out on the benefit that comes with the hard work. The one who exercises and diets sacrifices good health, who gives up on those things. Those who give up on education learn about all the wonderful things that they could learn. And those who give up on the race to win the heavenly prize miss out on the joy of walking with Christ. So what are you going to be focused on this year? And if that's too big a goal, what are you going to be focused on this week? What are you going to be focused on today? And focusing upon stuff or power, paying bills, temporary peaks of excitement, or living a life of comfort and leisure? I mean, don't you want more from life than this? We need to set our sights higher. We need to press for the prize. We need to lean forward, lean into it, to seek him out and to know him more fully. And Jesus tells us that when we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things that we're concerned with, you know, they're all going to take care of themselves. They're all going to fall into place. But seek him first. Run after him. Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you for your words to us this morning. Lord, help us in our own human frailty to run the race that you have set before us, to keep our eyes firmly affixed upon you, to strain towards that goal, Jesus, so that we might hear from you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank you, Jesus, for inviting us, calling us to live this incredible adventure. Jesus, it's in your name that we pray. Amen.